Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, ngamihi nui kia koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a programme brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at Cab, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well.
Ahi ahi marie, ko rani aho. I'm your host for today, along with Tom, our technical producer. Today, Tom and I are out in the field once again, this time talking with Graham Burgess, who is the CEO at Delta Community Support Trust, a grassroots community development and social support organisation which is based in Richmond and Christchurch. Today, Graham's going to tell us all about the wonderful services that Delta provides in the east of Christchurch, where it's been supporting the community for over 30 years. So, Graham.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Great to be here with you today. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, first off, welcome to Delta. If you haven't guessed by the accent, I'm originally from the UK. I moved here with my wife in 1997. Most of my career has been in leadership roles across community services, education, health, and government. But the common thread between all or across all of the roles that I've been involved with is always around people, helping people grow, helping people connect, or helping them overcome challenges. I came to Delta because I really believe in the power of community. Delta is a place where people aren't just given help, they're welcomed, supported and encouraged to connect with community life. It's one of the things that really hits you when you come to Delta is just how welcoming people here are at Delta. And we've done plenty of surveys where that seems to come out as that common thread.
Well, it certainly is. I know when I popped in to drop something off, I was amazed at how friendly everyone was. It was terrific.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. So I've been blessed to be the chief executive here for the last year and a half. My role really is around sort of stewarding that organisational vision, supporting our staff and volunteers, trying to strengthen partnerships in the community and making sure that Delta continues to evolve in a sustainable way to meet these coming needs. Okay. You know, we're no different to any other charity. It's a challenging time, not only around engaging with funders and supporters, but also rising challenges with the vulnerable community as well.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it, the role that you've undertaken and that your organisation is working within. Can you tell us a bit more about the communities you actually serve? Tell us about, I mean, we're in Richmond. Tell us about Richmond.
So the Richmond community, we're absolutely blessed in this space because the community groups here are so proactive. Mm. We've got the We Are Richmond group just across the road, Avery House, Shirley Community Trust just down the road. We all collaborate and work together incredibly well to service our community. But whilst we're based in Richmond, we actually look after people from all over the city.
Right, I wondered about that.
So we run three programmes. They're all intertwined more now than they've ever been. But we have our Evergreen Club, where we look after over 65s who live independently in their own homes. Our programme is 5 days a week in that space. And the key part is around removing that isolation, keeping people mentally and physically active and healthy. We feed them when they come in. And it's really a programme that is designed to keep people out in the community a lot longer, where they're safe, secure and connected.
So when you say that you run it for 5 days, you mean each of the people who comes to this comes along all of those 5 days, or they can just pop in whenever it suits them?
It's a day programme. Most people come 1 day a week.
Okay.
And, you know, they all have their sort of set days. For this particular programme, you can only actually join it if you're referred to us by a GP or a health professional. And we go through some criteria as to how you can access that funds. It's part of a Tufata Ora contract.
Right. So you have that contract.
It's funded. Yes. It's funded for them. So when they get to come here, it's free. It doesn't cover things like transport. So we fundraise, put on two vans, because we know that transport's a barrier to many people accessing these services. So we have two vans that go out in the morning, go and pick up clients or members from all over the city. And by the time they get back here, our cook's done them a morning tea.
Oh, wow.
So the day starts off with a fantastic, I don't know, maybe a hot scone or something like that, a cup of tea or coffee or whatever they drink. And that's how the day starts. One of the biggest problems we're seeing right across all of our communities is loneliness. Mm. And this is a great way to bring everybody together first thing in the morning, have that cup of tea, connect with people you haven't seen for the week. And then they kick off and they'll get into some physical exercises, move into some quizzes. Whilst they're doing that, the cook's doing a two-course meal for them. It's another opportunity, again, after they've done these exercises, for everybody to come together and connect and chat and re-establish those relationships that they perhaps haven't seen them for the last week or so.
So you said it was a fatal order contract. Does that mean that those people who win these contracts can actually put them in place in whatever way you deem is appropriate for your part of the community? Or are there sort of guidelines that you have to follow?
There are some guidelines, and especially around the reporting as well. The manager that runs that space, a wonderful woman called Sharon, is a registered nurse. So actually she brings all of this healthcare side of things to the programme, and it's incredibly well-structured, well-organised. And the team that work alongside Sharon very much are aware, as when people come in, they pick up, you're walking a little funny. They get to notice those changes, and they're huge advocates for this community as well. So if something isn't right, they'll be on the phone to the support workers or their case managers or their health professionals, whoever needs to be spoken to. And they really step up for this. It's above and beyond. It's not part of the contract to do these things, but
it's part of the community care.
Yeah, they care so much about the people coming in, and it really, really shows in that programme. There is a wait list, and so there's always people keen to come and join this programme. I call it an exemplar of how that type of programme, caring for this group of people, should be delivered. Something we're very, very proud of here.
That sounds extraordinary. I'm just sort of thinking, if it's so successful as it obviously is, and clearly something that you're very proud of, which you should be, do people ever kind of move out from it, or do you just keep like a ball, just keep gathering more and more people?
So we obviously have a space limit and a number limit, so that sort of restricts us where we are currently.
Right.
And of course, once you're on the programme, then you can stay on the programme. We find that people transition because their health needs deteriorate. If we're thinking about some of the age group, some average ages are probably nearer the sort of the 80s, 90s sort of
okay,
mark.
Okay, so you do have an older demographic as well.
Yeah. Mm. They end up either moving into a care facility or their decline is such that actually we're not able to support them in the way that's needed, and so then they'll move on to different programs, different institutions or groups and that sort of thing.
Excellent. And how many of your staff will be working on that program?
Roughly through the week, on average, there'd be about four in that space,
right.
And then our cook as well, of course, delivering that program.
You can't do without the cook, obviously.
No, which is amazing. But what we find is that, you know, the team drop in and out through the week. So, again, I'm the only full-time employee here, so they're all working part-time, just sort of 20 hours, a couple of days each.
Okay, so having that big picture is part of your responsibility, but it's a huge one, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of knowing how everything's running and all those moving parts.
It would be great for the Evergreen Group to see if we can establish another one of these programs somewhere else in the city as well.
Right.
To continue to support the community. That's just, again, they're just some early day thoughts about how we might continue to support this community. And it's evolving, you know, their needs, the way they want to be supported out in the community changes. And so we need to be constantly thinking about, well, how can we adapt and how can we deliver our services that best meet the needs of the community for the future?
Right. Well, you did mention that you work with other community organisations as well. Mm. Do you ever have those kinds of discussions with them?
Yeah.
Sharing ideas and...
So, I mean, this is something that's come up really recently. So we're looking at connecting with Age Concern and ElderNet to have those conversations in that space as well.
Right. I'm sure Greta would be pleased to talk with you.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes, absolutely. So that's one of your kind of keystone programs, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, one of three.
So, okay, so tell us about the other. But tell us about number two.
So number two is Friendship yep. Link. It's a day program, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Very similar to our Evergreen program, except for their support people bring them to us.
Right.
And we're making some deliberate transitions in that space at the moment, transitioning from a daycare facility based more around friendship and connection, which is really important. But what we want to do is to add that next level around skill-based learning. And actually trying to develop skills in our intellectually disabled and physically disabled community that makes them a wee bit more resilient out in the community. What we recognise is that parents, support people, carers are getting older, and there's a desire from their support people to actually help them grow these skills so that they are a wee bit more streetwise,
right.
So that they've got confidence that when they pass on, that actually they'll be a bit safer in that space. So what we've done is we've established something called Flourish, which is a cafe that now opens on Wednesdays, solely run by our intellectually disabled crew, with support of a cook and just some other people in that space to keep them safe and to keep our community safe as well.
And so anyone can come to that?
Anybody can
Absolutely.
Come. We open our doors at 11 and we run through until about 1:30, 2:00, something
Great.
Like that. So we've been practicing now for probably the best part of 5 months, teaching the guys skills in the kitchen, how to cook the meals from scratch, good about hygiene, teaching them about how washing up and cleaning down and those skills as well. And we got them some aprons embroidered. They're so proud of those.
I bet.
And it's been amazing to see them come alive in this sort of thing. They've really sort of lent into the challenge that we didn't realize we'd have is that obviously we can only fit so many of them in the kitchen at a time, and everybody wants to be in the kitchen at the same time, so that caused us a few challenges in the early days. We've got ourselves into a routine now, so we'll have one of the team will be our greeter, so we'll run the front of house, get everything set up in the morning. The team will come in on Tuesday and start prepping for Wednesday, and then we'll open our doors and we're serving and delivering what we've made for them. It's grown. We have somewhere sort of 25, 30 people coming into our cafe on Wednesday.
That's incredible.
Which is lovely. It really adds to our program. Not only do we now have our members going home and making meals for their families at home, but we're also putting them at the heart of our community.
And heightening their visibility too, because so often the opposite can happen, can't it? So that's fantastic.
So we've talked with quite a few agencies, because we have so many different things going off here at Delta. Friendship Link itself as a program has always been part of the community here.
Right.
And so actually opening Flourish has really amplified that part of it as well. So, of course, it means that we have to just make sure we're extra careful so that our community on both sides are supported and everybody's safe. But it really has put Flourish, Friendship Link, our wonderful community at the heart of everything that we're doing here. And you'll know from your time at the building that actually that cafe is almost right in the centre.
Well, it
of our
is. It's absolutely
well.
Central, isn't it? You come so, straight into it.
Yep, you can't miss them.
And the karaoke.
Karaoke this afternoon, which is, I'm glad we found a quiet place to come. But and I know through COVID, Friendship Link actually moved down to the far end of this building where we are now. And the life and soul just disappeared, full of volunteers doing amazing work. That everybody felt that there was something missing. And after COVID, and we managed to bring everybody back, it sort of came alive again. And it's an absolute joy to be here when these guys are here on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. This is a program that if you're over 18 with an intellectual or physical disability, you don't have to be referred to us. You can just give us a shout, just come on in and sign up and be part of this program. So Flourish is the cornerstone of learning these key life skills that we want to do. We have a new manager starting at the end of the month, and she's joining us from Ferndale School, which is also a disability-led school. And so we're hoping to marry more in that space and to bring more of those life learning skills to Delta as well.
Okay.
So we know that not everybody's going to become Jamie Oliver in the kitchen, but, you know, every step that they take forward in learning a new skill, becoming just that little bit more independent, self-reliant.
And building a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and confidence. That's
so
great.
We're thrilled at how that's going. So that's our second part. Anybody's welcome to come to the cafe on Wednesday as well and experience the love for themselves, because it is truly, truly a magical place to be.
Okay. Just before you move on to three, I've just got a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. Is this a very new initiative? Is this one that predate your arrival, or is this partly something that you could see a need for and you wanted to really focus energy on?
We officially opened Flourish Doors at the beginning of February this year. You know, when I say we've been working on it, Christmas, they hosted or delivered the Richmond Community Gardens, Community Gardeners.
Yes.
We hosted their Christmas party or Christmas lunch. And so Flourish did all the catering for that. We've had Ho Hepper coming over with their members, and we've catered for them. We've had the police here and catered for the police. So we've been having all these different groups, you know, closed doors to the community, but again, inviting these groups in to come and share health. Basically, they were our guinea pigs, and we were practicing on them. But they've just grown so much over the last few months. It's truly amazing.
Oh, that's congratulations!
Thank you.
That is a wonderful initiative to be taking off. I think we'll be out, won't we? Coming out for on a Wednesday. Okay. So number three.
So number three is really where our rubber hits the road. The two programs are really important: Evergreen and Friendship Link. But we have our support services. This is where our advocates live and work. This is where our budgeting advisors work. We have a social worker that sits in this space as well. The really important part about this work is about really helping people step up and move in a direction that's positive for them. So, you know, the team will help people with housing problems, with budgeting advice, and help get them on the track or resolve some finance problems. We'll help people sort of structure their debts to try and work their way out of whatever the challenges are. What we've seen over the last 6 to 12 months is a real transition around how that team works, and recognising that actually our members in Evergreen, our members in Friendship Link, also have problems where we can help them. So we're really starting to work across not only those who come through the door on an ad hoc basis, but those who are already here and part of our community. And we've had some huge successes recently around helping a lady whose house caught fire recently and getting her into a new place, and all the support and equipment and needs that are, you know, you would need when moving into a new place when your house is just burnt down.
Right. So this is real wraparound services.
It's absolutely incredible. And so they're an amazing team with huge, huge hearts for the community, and just sort of doing their utmost to try and help people navigate what can be quite complex systems or processes around getting support and care and that sort of thing. The goal here is all about trying to remove barriers for people to move on. We have a cafe on Monday and a cafe on Friday as well that runs out of this space. Monday's cafe is called Footprints, and Friday's cafe is called Delta Inn. I'm not 100% sure why they're all called different names, but for those who know them, they know what they're coming for, and I think it helps them define where they are on different days of the week. But on a Friday, our cafe would be sort of 60, 70 people coming in for a low-cost, nutritious meal. Those cafes are run all by volunteers. we couldn't do it without the support of the volunteers in that space who rock up either late on Thursday to start getting things sorted or very early on Friday morning. Yeah. And again, these are, you know, their main meals. And to serve 60, 70 people with main meals is
incredible.
Where do
you get all the food?
So we're part of the New Zealand Food Network.
Right.
We've got some amazing supporters with Kairos.
Yes, of course.
And Satisfy out in, moved out to Rangiora now. And New Zealand Food Network themselves. We have a fantastic relationship with New World on Stanmore Road.
Right.
Kerry and his team there. So between them, we're part of rescued food.
Excellent.
And it's the rescued food that we then use in the cafes. We use it in Flourish to help train and educate our members there. Just so happens the byproduct of them learning is the opportunity for our community to come in and get access to affordable, nutritious meals. And we're talking $5 for a main meal and sort of $3 for a dessert. I want to move into barista coffee, but I think they call it builder's coffee or builder's tea at the moment, which you know, which is like 50 cents. So if you're looking for a coffee and a good hearty meal, you know, for sort of $5.50, you've got a meal and a coffee. Yeah. And that's 3 days a week here now. So
It sounds to me like you're doing an extraordinary amount working with whatever is available to you.
So, yeah. So that as part of our advocacy and our support of the community, as part of feeding the community and as part of our responsibility through the rescued food that we're supported with Kairos and Satisfy with, is we have a community table. So we put a lot of our food outside our reception, which is available to anybody.
Mm.
You don't have to live within a certain area. If you have a need and there's something there that you do need and would help you, you're very welcome to take it. The only thing we say there is that, you know, just take what you need. There'll be some more there tomorrow. Just make sure everybody has access to...
Think of others as well.
To have some of that as well. So we're using the rescued food to feed the community that way. We also have the opportunity to create emergency food support. It was a really hard decision. This time last year, we were doing 470 food parcels a month, parcels and Kai packages. Kai packages, we were driving all over the city, delivering it to places. And the 400 food parcels were going to those who were in our food bank area, which was predominantly the Richmond area. It grew out of the COVID need. We've always done food support for our community. Yeah. COVID came along and that sort of grew from somewhere in the region of probably about 20 to 400, 470. And it's just unsustainable for us. Not only we were challenged with finding the food, which was one of those questions that everybody was asking me when I started, but also actually finding funding to continue doing that piece of work.
That is the big challenge, I think, for most not-for-profits now, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. And it's only going to become worse and worse in that respect. Our mission is about empowering people. It's about connecting community. It's about building resilience into a community. And when I had a chat with the board and said, look, this is where we're at, sort of warts and all on the table, one of the questions they came back to me is, how does this align with our mission? And of course, actually, we weren't empowering people. We were just holding a lot of people in crisis mode. And so our shift has been, or our transition has been really purposeful about the fact that what we want to do is to help people address those problems of food insecurity instead of sort of almost masking it with lots and lots of food support.
So you're not giving them fish, but you're teaching them how to fish as well.
It's exactly that.
Yeah, exactly. So we're really, skills provision.
Yeah, we're really keen. And this is where our cafes come in really well as well, because it actually draws people in. And it gives us the opportunity to get to know them. It gives our advocates the opportunity to actually connect and to discover some of these challenges that they're facing. And it gives us a real opportunity to build that relationship and to go, oh, OK, let's walk alongside you. This is how we can help you. You know, let me give so-and-so a phone call and see if we can get you an appointment or can we help you with that? We are still here if somebody is in desperate need for food support. What we want to do is to use food to say, oh, OK, your problem or your crisis is this. We understand that. And if we give you food support, this will help you step up and out of where you are now, instead of just this.
Here's the wraparound bit. Constant. It's not just stopping the gap.
Which goes back to our mission about empowering and uplifting and connecting the community.
Gosh, Graham, we could go on talking, I think, all day really here. I'm sorry, we probably need to wind it up a little bit. But just wanted to say, it sounds like that kind of organisation a lot of people would be interested in being a part of. Are you looking still for more volunteers? How do people contact you? Just ring you?
Yes, definitely. We're always looking for volunteers. You know, as some volunteers sort of decide that they've given plenty and want to sort of wind back a bit. Mm. We're always looking to establish new initiatives. One of the things that we're currently in conversations internally about is opening a cafe in the evening. We know that there's a community that can make it here between 10 and 2 when our cafes run during the day. But there's a whole community out there that would really benefit from what we offer in the evenings as well. So we're currently recruiting for cooks and chefs and people who are really keen to be part of our mission, our journey in the evenings. So we're advertising that on our Facebook page at the moment. Okay. But for those who want to know more, yes, they can contact us just by calling our reception, or they can go to www.deltatrust.org.nz and they'll find out all about us on our website, and all our contact details and Facebook pages are there as well.
Excellent. Gosh. Well, it's been great to talk with you today, Graham. Really has. We really appreciate your incredible positivity and commitment to the communities that you're serving, and the three huge pieces of work that you do for the community are really, really inspiring. So one of the things I think that Tom and I have both noticed too, just coming in here, there's a huge buzz of huge energy. So that makes everyone feel welcome. So thank you for making us feel so welcome as well. Okay.
Thank you for coming in.
Today, Graham shared his background and the amazing initiatives happening at Delta. He overviewed three key programs: Evergreen for the over 65s, Friendship Link, which aims at people with physical and mental disabilities and is known for Flourish, the cafe that's developed from this particular initiative, and finally their wraparound services, all of them focused on skills building and the empowerment of individuals. Tune in again next month when Graham talks more about Delta in the wider community.
A reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains website and look for Cab on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at Cab in person, by phone, emails, and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate, and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora. Thank you for listening. Until next time, mā te wā.